Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. One, further proof that the Zehut Party in Israel that JTF supports could have won the election and can win the next election if they run as a clear right-wing party with a clear right-wing message. They can win. And we're going to try to prove that to you on this program with statistics from the actual vote tabulations in the election. And the second subject we want to discuss is the Trump so-called peace plan, and how the Democrat Party has become so anti-Semitic and so anti-Israel that we have a real problem on our hands, and a problem that JTF and that all good Jews and righteous Gentiles will have to confront in next year's election because of the vicious anti-Semitism of the Democrat Party. But let's start off with the Zehut Party. As you know, we supported Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party in the election. He came close to winning. He got about 120,000 votes. And he needed about 20,000 more votes to win. So he came relatively close to winning. And we said all along that the Zehut Party should run as a straight right-wing party, with a right-wing platform and an appeal to right-wing voters. Instead, Moshe Feiglin ran with many right-wing positions on the issues, such as encouraging the Arabs to leave in exchange for compensation, sovereignty over the entire land of Israel. He ran with many right-wing positions, and of course a free economy and reducing taxes and opening up the economy for Israel. But he also said, I'm not right-wing or left-wing, I don't believe in those concepts or those terms anymore, I appeal to everybody, and he tried to appeal to left-wing voters as well. And that created, I think, a great deal of ambiguity and enabled Feiglin's enemies to claim that he's not really right-wing. His enemies on the right claimed he's not really right-wing, and his enemies on the left said correctly that he's not left-wing, he's certainly not left-wing. So he wound up losing from both sides. He got attacked from all sides, and he was very difficult for him to defend himself because he didn't run with a clear, definitive right-wing message down the line, which is what he should have run on. Now, I want to go through some of the election statistics with you to prove to you that running as a right-wing party is the way to go and is the way for Zehut to win. Number one, the right-wing voters are the ones who voted for Zehut in the end. Even though there was a message that was confusing in many cases, and that was the big mistake of Zehut. Their message was often confusing, and they opened themselves up to attacks from the phony right, claimed that Zehut are not right-wing, and that right-wing voters shouldn't go near them. Zehut, in the end, the votes that they did get were from the right. The overwhelming majority of their voters were from the right. For example, soldiers, the votes of soldiers. Soldiers in Israel overwhelmingly vote right-wing. They're known to be overwhelming right-wing voters in every election. Zehut got 6.6% of the votes of soldiers. The threshold to pass and get into the Knesset is 3.25%. They got more than double that. They got 6.6% among soldiers. Even though they didn't make a major campaign to get votes from soldiers, other parties did. They didn't really try to appeal to soldiers in their campaign, and yet 6.6% of soldiers voted for them. They got the third largest number of votes among the 41 parties running. 41 parties ran. And Zehut came in third place among soldiers after the two big parties. Zehut was in third place with 6.6%. Because it's the right-wing voters that voted for Zehut in the end. Not enough for them to pass the threshold, but the votes they did get were from the right. proving that that's where the votes are for Zehut. That's where they can succeed and win. And it wasn't just the soldiers' votes. It's also in Judea and Samaria. They got 5, 6, 7% in one yeshuv, and yeshuv is the communities, yeshuvim are the communities in Judea and Samaria, in one community after another, in one town after another in Judea and Samaria. They got 5, 6, 7% of the vote, way above the 3.25% that they need to pass the threshold. So in Judea and Samaria, even though they didn't conduct a major campaign there, they got votes there. They got a large number of votes there, a good percentage of votes there, among the soldiers, among the Jews in Judea and Samaria. And in other right-wing towns, where Zehut hardly conducted a campaign, they got far more votes than what they need to pass the threshold. So it was the right in the end that supported Zehut, even though Zehut did not make an open appeal to the right, and in some cases abandoned right-wing areas during the campaign. On the other hand, in Tel Aviv, a very left-wing city, where Zehut made a huge effort and spent a lot of money, and they had their offices there, very expensive offices, and they spent a lot of money, and they made a huge effort there, and they campaigned there, even on the last day of the election, the whole last day of the election, they were in Tel Aviv campaigning. And their events were mostly in Tel Aviv. Everything was Tel Aviv. In Tel Aviv, left-wing Tel Aviv, they got only 2% of the vote. After all the money and all the effort and all the time they wasted there, they got only 2% of the vote in Tel Aviv. And I'll bet you most of that 2% came from right-wing voters in South Tel Aviv. I'll bet you that's where they got their vote. Now, you know, JTF ran its own independent campaign. And our independent campaign was strictly a right-wing campaign to appeal to voters. And I think we got Zehut quite a few votes in this election. If not for JTF, they would have been much further away from the threshold than they were in the end. In the end, they came pretty close. I think they would have been a lot further away if not for JTF. And we're very proud of the campaign we ran for Zehut. And it wasn't just for Zehut. We also reached over 1 million Israeli Jews with our message of truth. Our videos reached over 1 million Israeli Jewish viewers. So Israeli Jews were exposed to our programs and our issues and our positions and our arguments on the issues. That was very important in and of itself, regardless of what happened in the election. Of course, we would have preferred if Zehut had won. But regardless of that, what we did in that election was important. We exposed Israeli Jews, mostly young Israeli Jews, to new right-wing positions. And I'll bet you a lot of the soldiers' votes, because Zehut didn't conduct a campaign on its own among the soldiers, a lot of the soldiers watched our videos. I'll bet you a lot of those votes came as a result of our campaign, as a result of our videos, of JTF's videos. And it's not just the results of these elections in 2019 that prove that Zehut should have run as a strictly right-wing party, which is what we've urged all along. It's not just that that proves that the right is where you run if you're a party like Zehut. Bibi Netanyahu has won 4 elections already in Israeli history. Since 1996, he's won 4 times. He's been elected 4 times, winning far more than the 3.25% that Zehut needed just to get 4 seats in the Knesset. Bibi Netanyahu gets 30 seats or more in the elections, running as a right-wing candidate. Every time he runs on the right. He runs as a right-wing candidate. He pretends he's right-wing, even though he's not. His policies are left-wing. As soon as he gets elected, he betrays the right. As soon as he gets elected, he breaks all of his promises. As soon as he gets elected, he stabs all of the right-wing people in the back. And yet he runs as a right-wing candidate because he understands that that's where the votes are. He understands that that's the way you win the election. I hope that Moshe Feiglin and Zehut will learn that lesson as well, will understand that. Because it seemed during the campaign that they didn't understand it. So I hope they'll understand it now. And we're going to try to convey the message to them. On election day, they have what they call exit polls. They have that in the United States, and they have that in Israel too. The television stations, the three main television stations conduct exit polls to ask Israeli voters why they voted the way they voted and questions about their political philosophy and so on. 55% of the voters in the exit polls on election day, 55% of Israeli voters, and that includes Arabs, everybody, not just Jewish voters, all, unfortunately, a lot of enemies of the Jewish people are allowed to vote in Israel too, which is crazy, but unfortunately they are allowed. But among all Israeli voters, 55% said they're right wing, defined themselves as right wing. 55%. Look at the difference between Israel and the United States, for instance. Would 55% of American voters define themselves as conservative? No way. It's usually about 30%. So, and then you have moderates and liberals and so on, but the conservatives are usually 30-35% of the voters in the United States, according to the polls nationally. In Israel, it's 55% are right-wing. So Israel, most Israeli voters are right-wing. They want to at least vote right-wing. They think they're voting for a right-wing party. They're not. The parties they're voting for are lying to them, are not right-wing. They betray them. And that should have been Zehut's message and Feiglin's message. That was JTF's message in our videos, that they're the phony right. And that should have been Feiglin's message and Zehut's message. But the fact that the overwhelming majority of Israeli voters define themselves as right-wing, that clearly is where the votes are. So what is this appealing to the left and appealing to Tel Aviv? And Tel Aviv is a part of Israel that does not represent most of Israel. So JTF, I hope, will succeed in convincing Feiglin. I don't know if we will. But we'll try to convince Feiglin to run a right-wing campaign. That's what we did on his behalf. That's what we want to do on his behalf next time as well. And I'll tell you something. Whether he listens to us or not, Feiglin is good for Israel. The things he's proposing are good for Israel. He's proposing a plan to encourage the Arabs to leave in exchange for compensation. That's essential for Israel. He's proposing to throw all the illegal aliens out of Israel. That's essential for Israel. He's proposing a free market economy. He's the only party that's running against Israeli socialism and Israeli bureaucracy. That's essential for Israel. He's proposing to free up the education system so that parents can choose where their children go to school with vouchers. That's essential for the Jewish education, the Torah education of the future for Jewish kids. Most of the things he's proposing are essential for Israel. Yes, he also proposes things that we don't agree with, like legalizing marijuana. I think that's wrong. So there are things he proposes we don't agree with, but on 80% of the issues, he's right. He also proposes striking Iran and destroying Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. He's the only party that... Zehut's the only party that said that Israel should do that. So on issue after issue, in 80% of the cases, he's right. That's why we supported him, even though sometimes we're frustrated because they don't listen to our advice. That happens. But on most of the issues, he's good for Israel and good for the Jews, and that's what we care about. We're not interested in our ego if he listens to us, he doesn't listen to us. We're not interested in it. We're interested, is it good for Jews? Will it save Jewish lives? Will it awaken the Jewish people? Will it bring the redemption closer? That's all we care about. That's all JTF ever cares about. And so we will be loyal soldiers even for somebody who doesn't listen to our advice if that benefits the Jewish people and it's good for the Jewish people and good for Israel. And Feiglin and Zehut are the only party that would represent a positive change for Israel. All the other parties are bad. Bad. So we're going to try to convince Feiglin. And I hope we can do so. I hope we can knock some sense into his head and get him to run a right-wing campaign on the right, saying, we're the real right, all the others are phony. Look at me when I was in the Knesset. I was the only one who was loyal to my principles. Everybody else betrayed their principles. He runs that campaign. I think he can win. All right. The second subject we want to discuss, we've discussed before, the Trump so-called peace plan. Of course, there's no hope for peace between Israel and the Arab Muslim world. The Arab Muslim world is committed to Israel's annihilation. The Quran calls for the extermination of all non-Muslim infidels. The Quran calls for the conquest of the entire world. All nations that are not under Islamic rule are Dar al-Kharb, the abode of the sword. All nations, that's from the Quran. All nations that are under Islamic rule are Dar al-Islam, under Islamic rule. Muslims are required and obligated to conquer the world for Islam. And so the United States has no right to exist under Islam. Europe has no right to exist under Islam. China, no country in the world has any right to exist under Islam. And the Muslims dream of the day when they can conquer the whole world. But in the case of Israel, it's a million times more so. Because in the case of Israel, you have a tiny Jewish state in the middle of the Muslim world. Right in the middle of the Muslim world, you got this tiny Jewish state, the only non-Muslim state in that whole area. And this tiny little state, this tiny little Jewish state, defeats Muslims in wars in 6 days, defeats Muslims that outnumber them 100-1. I mean, humiliated the whole Muslim world. The whole Arab world went to war against Israel in the 1967 Six-Day War. And in 6 days, Israel beat the crap out of all of them. Outnumbered 100-1, beat them, and quadrupled in size in just 6 days. This is the existence of Israel. The presence of Israel is a humiliation for the Muslims because they feel they have to show they're going to destroy any non-Muslim state. And they will never accept the existence of a Jewish state in the middle of the Muslim world. Never. Never accept it. And so there's no hope for peace between Israel and the Arabs. Never has been, never will be. The only thing that will eventually bring peace is when the Mashiach comes, when the Messiah comes, he's going to destroy all of Israel's enemies. That will bring peace. When Israel's enemies are destroyed, with Gog and Magog and the war of Gog and Magog, and all of Israel's enemies are eliminated, that will bring peace. But we don't know what Trump's plan will entail. If it's a plan where he's going to demand a so-called Palestine state and he's going to pressure Israel to commit suicide and begin a big campaign to pressure Israel, then we're going to sit out the next election. We're not going to support Trump, even though the Democrats are anti-Semites. If Trump is endangering Israel's survival, that's it. All bets are off. We will have nothing to do with him. On the other hand, if the plan, when it is released, even though we'll be against the plan no matter what, because any so-called peace plan is ridiculous. But and the plan, by the way, probably calls for American taxpayers to pay to shell out tens of billions of dollars to help Arabs, whom they call Palestinians. There are no Palestinians. There is no Palestine. But to help these Arabs who want to destroy Israel and give them huge amounts of assistance and bribe them in order to accept the plan, that's what we understand the plan to be. That's one of the aspects of the plan that seems to be developing. They're going to develop their economy and it's the worst thing you can do. Then they'll be comfortable there and it'll attract many more to come there to the land of Israel. It'll be disaster for Israel. But if the plan doesn't call for a Palestinian state and they don't really pressure Israel, they just release the plan and it's quickly rejected. And that's the end of it. Then Trump probably, and under those circumstances, Trump probably will be the lesser of the evils, and we probably will support him as a lesser of the evils against the Democrats. And again, as we've said on prior programs, our support would be very important to Trump because there are millions of evangelicals and millions of true conservatives who refused to support Trump, who did not vote for him in the last election. I didn't vote for him, and many other people didn't vote for him. Millions of other people didn't vote for him. Millions of Ted Cruz supporters refused to vote for him. Because he's not a conservative, he's a fraud. And so, millions did not vote for him. If we, as never Trumpers, get involved and convince these people that you have to vote for him because the Democrats are worse, our voice will be more convincing than anybody else's. And so we can make quite a difference in the election. We can bring from the right voters that didn't support Trump because we were against Trump from the right. Everybody criticized him in the media and everywhere else from the left. We were against him from the right because he's not really right wing. We want a right wing president. So if we can bring those voters in for him, we're the most convincing voice to do it because we were so much against him. And so we will conduct a campaign like that on his behalf, not with money. We're not going to spend money. All of our money will go to Israel. All of our money will go to convincing Israeli Jews and waking Israeli Jews up. That's where all of our money goes. That's where our budget goes. But we can do videos. It doesn't cost us to put videos up. To advertise the videos costs money. To advertise what we're doing, that will only go, 100% of that is for Israel, the advertising. That will only be for Israel. That will have nothing to do with what we do in terms of the presidential election in America. But we'll put up videos, we'll just put up videos for free. And when we did that in 2016 and 2012, we did that for Mitt Romney against Barack Hussein Obama. We did it in 2016 for Ted Cruz. We got millions of views. And I think we could get even more this time. So we could be quite a force that in a close election we could be a significant force potentially. So let's hope that Trump does not, let's hope that because of his desire to win the evangelical vote, he does not propose a plan that will endanger Israel. If he proposes a plan, I mean, all of his plans will be bad. Any plan he proposes will be bad, and we'll reject it, of course. But if he proposes a plan that immediately has no chance of getting anywhere, and he doesn't really push it, and that's the end of it, they just put it out there, and that's the end of it. If he does that, then he would be preferable under those circumstances. If that's all he does, then he'd be preferable to the Jew-hating Democrats. The Democrat Party defends even BDS, even the divestment movement now. They claim they're against the BDS movement, which is to completely boycott Israel and destroy Israel. They claim they're against that, but they support the rights of the people who are doing it because they don't want legislation against it because they have free speech rights, they say. The same people who say that people who would criticize gays or would criticize transgenders or would say anything against a black leader, they right away are fired from their jobs, their lives are ruined, that's the end, they're blacklisted everywhere. The same people who talk about free speech, these same left-wing Democrat communist animals who talk about free speech, don't allow free speech in any other subject. The only place where they suddenly mention, but they have a free speech right to express their views, the only time they mention that is to give anti-Semites who want to destroy Israel. They, right away, all of a sudden, then they say, but they have free speech. They should have a right to say to do what they're doing. And that's all the Democrat presidential candidates, all Jew haters. They support Jew haters. They support the destruction of Israel. Literally, the destruction of Israel is what they literally want to see happen. They defend a Muslim congresswoman who has openly called for the destruction of Israel. They defend the congresswoman Cortez in New York City who has openly called for Israel's destruction. They all defend them. If you defend that, you're defending the destruction of Israel. Because that's what these congresswomen, Yimach Shmot v'Zichrot, have called for openly. And, you know, even Trump's policies, they criticize Trump because they say he's too pro-Israel. Trump cut aid to the PLO terrorists. He cut aid to them because they weren't willing to go along with some of the things he proposed. So the PLO terrorists, Abu Mazen and the PLO terrorists, he cut aid to them, which, again, I'm not happy with that. If it was Ted Cruz would have eliminated all. He wouldn't have given them any aid at all. Not one penny of American tax dollars would have gone to these PLO terrorists who have the blood of hundreds of American citizens on their hands. They've murdered over the years hundreds of American citizens in terrorist attacks. So they shouldn't get a penny. But Trump cut it, and he cut it by 50% in some programs. In other programs, he cut by 40%. He made cuts to some of their programs that they were getting. Which, again, is terrible. The whole thing should have been eliminated, which is what Ted Cruz would have done. But he made some cuts. The Democrats now are criticizing and condemning Trump and saying he should restore those cuts and give them billions of dollars in American tax money to the PLO terrorists and the other Muslim terrorists who want to destroy America and Israel. They should give these Muslim terrorists billions of American tax dollars. That's what the Democrats are demanding. So it doesn't get worse than this. This is as bad as it gets. And with Iran, again, Trump didn't do what Ted Cruz would have done. Ted Cruz would have sent in the American Air Force and they would have destroyed Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. The problem would be over already. And then Saudi Arabia would not be building nuclear bombs if that was the case. We wouldn't have a nuclear arms race among Muslim countries going on. But Trump didn't do that as we predicted, as we told you he wouldn't do. And so that was terrible. But the Democrats, but at least, you know, he did back out belatedly. A year and a half late, he backed out of the Obama-Iran agreement. The Democrats want to go back to the Obama-Iran agreement. So on every issue, they are even worse. Trump is bad, and he is bad. He is not a good president. He's making America great again. If you believe that, you're a moron. You're a moron if you believe he's making America great again. The budget deficit is growing faster than it was under Obama. The national debt is growing faster than it was under Obama. The number of illegal aliens crossing the border every month is up from the Obama years. Under Trump, more illegal aliens are coming into the country than they were under Obama. That's making America great again? Are you crazy? Don't you understand what that means? I don't care about rhetoric. We're talking about results here. He was supposed to be a businessman that gets results, so he is not making America great again. We were 100% right about him. He's a terrible president. Unfortunately, the Democrats are much worse. And that is what we would say if we supported him next year, that he has not been a good president, that we do not like him. We don't like anything. We don't like his filthy mouth, and we don't like anything he stands for. And we don't like his porn star affairs, and we don't like his adultery, and we don't like his immorality, and we don't like his lying, and we don't like the fact that he robbed people at Trump University and he's dishonest. We don't like any of that. Those of you, by the way, that loved him, adored him, even though he's a thief and a liar and a fraud and an adulterer. I mean, the slimy stuff, didn't bother any of you. That says something about you, okay? For us, this was a problem. All of those things were problems for us. But the Democrats are worse. That's true. And so we have to make a painful choice here. And again, the way I'm presenting this now is more helpful to Trump than some Trumpster that enthusiastically supports him, because some Trumpster enthusiastically supports him is not going to connect with Never Trumpers on the right. The millions of Never Trumpers on the right that refused to vote for him in the last election, they're not going to relate to some Trumpster who enthusiastically is trying to boost Trump and telling you the stock market is up and the economy is booming, you know, the arguments that Trump, he's bringing America back, which is all baloney. Okay, it's not going to relate, because on the issues that count, Trump has not been good. He's not been good on those issues. The Tea Party was formed to fight against budget deficits and the national debt. Trump is increasing the national debt faster than Obama was. Trump's deficits, annual budget deficits, are bigger than Obama's were by hundreds of billions of dollars. The $19 trillion in national debt that you had when Trump took office, which he said was going to bring the country to bankruptcy, is now $22 trillion. And that's nothing. That's just counting. That's even a phony number, because it doesn't count the pension funds and huge amounts of debt in addition to that that are not even counted. They're not even on the table when they talk about that. But even there, the national debt is increasing exponentially under Trump. So he's not taking care of these long-range problems that will, in the end, destroy the United States. So we got a very serious problem here. And we got a choice between this pseudo-conservative phony in the White House and Marxists, anti-Semitic, communist, Marxist, socialist Democrats running against him. It's just, what a choice. What a horrible choice. But in a situation like that, for Israel, our main issue is Israel. And in a situation like that, again, if Trump does not pressure Israel and does not make a big deal over his so-called peace plan, and it's rejected quickly and it doesn't really go anywhere, then under those circumstances, he would be preferable to the anti-Semitic Democrats. And we would make that case. And we make the case not just among Jewish voters. We'll go after him, not just, as you know, when we do videos, we don't just go after him on Israel, even though Israel is our number one issue, but we don't go after him just on Israel. And by the way, Israel is also a very important issue, not just for Jewish voters. Israel is an important issue for tens of millions of evangelical voters. And some of them did not vote for Trump, in part because of that issue. But we will go after him on all the issues. The communist associations and the socialism of the Democrats and the crazy things they're proposing and the unbelievable impact it would have on the economy. Just devastating on the healthcare system, on the economy, open borders. They want to tear down even the fence that Obama had up there. Obama, you'll be nostalgic for Obama if one of these communist Democrats gets in the White House. They're saying Obama, they're not happy with what Obama was doing. And Obama, of course, was a horrifying president, a terrible president. But they're saying they're not happy with Obama. Beto O'Rourke said the fence that Obama put on the southern border should be torn down. There should be nothing there. No fence, nothing. It should be completely open to everybody. And the other Democrats are basically saying the same thing. So it's just insanity beyond words, and someone has to stand up and speak about this, and someone, there has to be a voice of truth, and that's where JTF has to step in and try its best, and we have to try our best to reach as many people as we can with a voice of truth. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. His plan, his so-called peace plan, is not going to be released for a number of weeks. He's waiting for the Muslim fast month of Ramadan first. But when that's over and he releases the plan, we're going to see what happens, and then we'll make a decision probably in the early summer. We'll make a decision, and then you'll know it because you'll see a big, big campaign on our part, and it'll be a clever campaign. If we do begin a campaign on his behalf, it won't be pro-Trump. It'll be anti-Democrats. It'll be anti-Democrats. And if we do begin a campaign like that, it'll be a clever campaign. It will be well-run and very clever. And the arguments will be very powerful arguments. So we'll see what happens. In the meantime, our ad campaign in Israel is continuing. Every day that I speak to you, by the way, every week that I speak to you, tens of thousands of tens of thousands of new Israelis have seen our videos. We get tens of thousands of views on our advertising campaign every single week. In fact, we get an average of over 6,000 views a day now. Over 6,000 views a day on our videos, educating the Jews of Israel, most of them young Israelis, the future of Israel. That's our future, our Jewish future. So that's very important. If you understand the importance of reaching Jewish youth with a message of truth, Torah truth and faith, and with a Kahanist message of uncompromising commitment to the land of Israel, the people of Israel, and the Torah of Israel, if you understand the importance of that, then you're in the right place, because there's no place else where you're going to find, where you'll have the ability to directly reach the people of Israel with that message, except through JTF. That will continue no matter what. And that will be where our budget will go, where our money will go, and where our concentration on Israel will go. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And if in addition to that, we run a campaign in the presidential election without budget, again, with no money, zero money, and just putting up videos without advertising, if we do that, that might also be something that could potentially change the direction of... Listen, if it's a close election and our videos... move the election, we will have changed world history. I'm not saying we're going to succeed in doing that. I don't know what we're going to succeed in doing it. I always say on the program, Ani lo Navi ve Ani lo Ben Navi. I'm not the prophet. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not the son of a prophet. We don't have prophecy. So I can't tell you what's going to be for sure, but I can tell you that the potential for us to have a big impact certainly exists. That's where we stand now. And We're going to continue our fight, and we're reaching the people of Israel with the truth, and we'll find out soon whether or not we're also going to make a big splash in the presidential campaign. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.